Thank you, Dan. It's nice to get the mask off, I have to admit. It's a privilege for me to be up here today, because in a lot of ways I don't feel qualified to speak to you this morning, but isn't it reassuring to know that God can use anyone? And I know at least one example in the Old Testament, Balaam's donkey. I hope that I can at least match the quality of the animals and God's words. So thanks for the chance to get up here. I want to talk this morning about godly wisdom and why we need it for 2021. We're entering a new year, and it seems like more than ever, we need God's wisdom. And I'm going to raise this up just a bit. I grew up in a Catholic family and Catholic teaching. And I distinctly remember kneeling around the kitchen table on the floor with my siblings and my mom while my dad led us in prayer, saying the rosary, and votive candles lit. And this is kind of a regular thing for Catholics, at least where I grew up. We would repeat saying the Hail Mary. And I don't know if many of you are familiar with that prayer, but it's a short prayer to Mary. It's repetitive. We would say it 10 times after each Our Father, and you would do that for 10 times. So you would literally work your way through all the beads on the rosary saying 100 prayers. And the idea was that for each prayer you said, you acquired a certain number of days of indulgences to get your soul out of purgatory earlier. So I remember the words that we would say, Hail Mary, full of grace, and then asking Mary, the earthly mother of Jesus, to pray on our behalf to God the Father. And she was, from our understanding, our point of view at that time, she was a conveyor of God's grace to us. And that was the limit of my wisdom at that time. That's what I understood. But when I was truly born again at age 18, I received the gift of God's Holy Spirit. And I later learned that the Latin translation for that word, full of grace, and it comes from the Gospel of Luke, verse 28 in Luke chapter 1. In the original Greek, it is not Mary full of grace. It's actually, and you can look in your Bibles, it's most often translated improperly, highly favored. And the reason I bring this up is because it speaks about a godly wisdom. The Greek word that's used is actually in a passive tense, not an active tense. And I am not, I'll admit right here, I am not a Greek scholar. But I do find it interesting studying Greek because it's a very specific language. The passive tense in that word means that grace was endowed upon Mary. She was chosen to be a vessel to bear Jesus Christ as her baby. So she received grace from God. It's not, in contrast to the Catholic Church, that Mary was filled with grace and somehow released that grace to those who prayed to her. And that's a huge difference. She, in the Catholic Church, was considered a source of grace, not a channel of God's grace. And that, to me, I recognized was the difference between earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. Only God's Spirit can give us that clarity and help us to understand His Word correctly. Well, this morning I'd like to cover four main points regarding godly wisdom. And the first is the biblical definition of wisdom. What is godly wisdom? Second, how do we obtain or get this godly wisdom? Third, why do we need it? And then finally, what does it look like in real life? Because if we cannot transfer biblical wisdom to our everyday life, it's only head knowledge and it's irrelevant. So Please turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 3 in your Bibles. James chapter 3, and this will be our primary text this morning that I'm going to use. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, where we find not only a definition of godly wisdom, but we find James' definition of earthly wisdom. Let's look at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. So James begins asking a question, who is wise? And that word, and forgive me for getting a little technical here, but that word in the Greek, wise, is literally sophos. And according to Vine's dictionary, it describes those who have been endowed with the spiritual and practical wisdom of God. So we have received God's wisdom if we're wise. Wisdom is very closely related to it. It's a Greek word called Sophia. It's actually a name too, Sophia. And that is the spiritual understanding given from God himself. So wise, we have received it. Wisdom is what it is. Thayer's Greek lexicon describes wisdom as, quote, the knowledge and practice of requisites or requirements for godly and upright living. So this is what we need for godly and upright living. This is godly wisdom. The exact opposite of heavenly wisdom is contrasted in verse 15. And actually, I'll back up to verse 14. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly and sensual and demonic. This wisdom is of quarrelsome and envious nature, originating in self-centeredness, and comes from Satan. I grew up in Wisconsin from the States. I grew up a Green Bay Packers fan. My dad was a big Packer fan back in the Vince Lombardi era. And Vince Lombardi was an interesting guy because he's a very good, effective coach, football coach. He's kind of a legend in the football circles. And he gave a lot of good quotes like, we didn't lose, we just ran out of time. And another of his famous quotes is, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. And so there's a lot of good sports wisdom. It still floats around sports circles today, a lot of his sayings. And I had to smile because a few weeks ago, one of my sons, wait, I only have one son. Anyway. I won't mention his name. I promised his anonymity. But he came home from school, and I asked, when I got home from work, I said, how was your day? How was your day at school? And he said, well, pretty good, Dad, but something happened at recess. He's like, a bunch of the guys tackled me and just plowed me in the snow, and he's like, I was really upset. But other than that, my day was pretty good. So I said, well, I said, were the teachers around? Like, did they do anything? Why did this happen? And he's like, well, we were kind of out of sight of the teachers and the playground monitors, and so we just, we kind of do our own thing off on the side. I was like, okay, well, you know, if it happens again, we might have to have a talk because, you know, I don't want you getting hurt or any of the other boys. You can't roughhouse too much, you know. And then as I got up, I looked back at him and I said, by the way, did you do anything to provoke the other boys? And Nate's like, well, one of the boys challenged me that I couldn't take him down. And I was like, that's all I needed, Dad. And I said, okay, so you just got a good dose of earthly wisdom and you gave in to it. You gave in to it. It was pretty fun. But that is actually, aside from the humor of children, that is a wisdom that's common on the streets of the cities that we have in our culture today. It's in the halls of parliament and government. It's pervasive on university campuses, in the military compounds, in boardrooms, in corporate offices, and in the science labs of our world. It's an earthly wisdom. And it says that self-preservation and self-promotion are the most important thing. And don't ever let an opponent get the better of you. It's an all-out effort to keep yourself on top. And above all, to never be seen as unprepared or weak. James, in the Bible, the Apostle James has a word for it. He calls it demonic. It's demonic. It's not godly wisdom. Let's look again at James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. But the wisdom that is above, from above, is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness sown in peace by those who make peace. So these verses contain a description of God's wisdom on display. It's exactly opposite of the rigorous, self-seeking attitude of the world. It's peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, etc. When is the last time you or I heard a political candidate that had a gentle spirit? No, the characteristics of godly wisdom describe an otherworldly attitude, and many theologians agree that this passage describes none other than Jesus Christ himself. And according to 1 Corinthians 1:30, Jesus is the wisdom of God embodied unto us. He is God's wisdom in the flesh. So, Jesus is the Bible's best example of God's wisdom on display. So how do we obtain God's wisdom? We know that Jesus is our example, but how do we obtain it? Well, the best example I could find, or the best description I could find of getting God's wisdom is actually back in the Old Testament. If you'll turn with me back to Proverbs, we'll be looking at chapter 1 and chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, and maybe some of you know this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It all begins here with a proper understanding of who God is and who we are in relationship to him. It's a humble attitude that is willing to admit our need for God's help. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 is a beautiful section of scripture and valuable for wisdom. And I'm going to read these seven verses because it's really practical. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright and is a shield to those who walk uprightly. We see here that the Lord gives wisdom and understanding. And furthermore, in verse 7, he actually stores it up. It's like a big granary that he stores up this wisdom for us. And the Lord offers it to those who genuinely seek it. In fact, in James chapter 1, verse 5, James encourages us, if any of you lacks wisdom, Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, freely, abundantly, to those who ask, without reproach. So the Lord is willing to give us this wisdom if we simply ask in faith. There are three details that I noticed in this little passage of scripture that really stood out to me. I call them the three S's. First, God is the source of wisdom in verse 6. He is the supply. He stores it up for the righteous. And he is our security, the security of wisdom. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. If he gives it to you, he will not take it away. And all of this is at our disposal. It's free for us to have. So why do we need this godly wisdom? Why is this so important, especially for us today? Let's stay in Proverbs chapter 2 briefly and consider the benefits, some of the benefits of godly wisdom. Look at verse 9. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. We learned that wisdom helps us understand righteousness and true justice and every good path. If you look at verse 20, it preserves us and keeps us in the way of goodness and righteousness. It enables us to partake of God's peace and the benefits of his wisdom, like long life, riches, and honor. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. There's another section of the benefits of God's wisdom. On the other side of the coin, on the flip side, God's wisdom keeps us from evil. It keeps us from those who speak and practice evil. It keeps us from immorality, verses 12 through 16 in chapter 2. So God's wisdom, on the positive, keeps us in the way of righteousness and keeps us from the ways of evil. There's one more thing that God's wisdom affords, and that is peace in the day of calamity. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 24 to 26. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble when it comes. Not if it comes, when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from getting caught. Do we have calamity today? What trouble are you facing? Are you seeking heavenly wisdom from God's supply? I'll share a story of Pastor Richard Wormbrand. If you don't know who Pastor Wormbrand was, he was a founder of an organization called Voice of the Martyrs. And after World War II, in the 1950s and 60s, in the communist takeover of a lot of Eastern Europe, he was a pastor in Romania and suffered 14 years terribly in Soviet prison, communist prison camps. In his autobiography titled Tortured for Christ, he wrote of the dilemma, one dilemma, that he and others faced in prison. And I'm quoting now from his book. I have seen Christians in communist prison camps with 50-pound chains on their feet, tortured with red-hot iron pokers, forced with teaspoons of salt shoved down their throat, and then not able to drink water, not permitted to drink water. They have been starved, whipped, exposed to the cold, beaten mercilessly, and praying with fervor for the communists. This is humanly inexplicable. It is the love of Christ shed in our hearts. Afterwards, the communists who had tortured us came to prison too. Because under communism, even soldiers and communist rulers were often imprisoned. So now the torturers and those they tortured were in the same prison cell. While the non-Christians showed hatred to their former guards, the Christians came to their defense. Even at the risk of being beaten themselves as so-called accomplices to the communists. I have seen Christians giving away their last slice of bread, which was their ration for 1 week, one slice of bread, and valuable medicine that was rarely available in the prison camps to the communists, their former torturers, now their fellow prisoners. That, my friends, is godly wisdom, not earthly wisdom. So what does wisdom look like today for us? Our tendency, and certainly mine, is to look for examples of individuals who convey wisdom in a sort of witty, clever delivery, perhaps in a rebuttal to an argument, or maybe in a debate between two candidates, or perhaps whoever gets the last best word in on a controversial issue. It's as if we desire to have the best heavyweight contender in our corner of the boxing ring so that he can deliver the knockout punch and our side will win. But have we considered what we've done? We are glorifying man to the point of idolatry. It stems from an earthly approach to wisdom and not a godly approach to wisdom. What I'm stressing is that we need to prepare ourselves to be able to answer the world around us with godly wisdom. But this has to be on God's terms and his conditions, not on ours. The Holy Spirit may not give us an immediate answer to the latest scientific discovery. We might not have the best rebuttal in a debate over climate change. No, the best display of godly wisdom is a set of character qualities. James 3:17 says, "The wisdom of God is first pure, and then peaceable and gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality or hypocrisy." Many theologians agree that this is an apt description of none other than Jesus Christ, our Savior. And if we look closely at the life of Christ, we'll begin to see some patterns in Jesus' life that prove he was God's wisdom in the flesh. And for example, I was looking at Jesus and how he responded so firmly to the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees during his earthly ministry. In fact, Jesus put to rest every single question, every misguided question about his person or authority, to the point that no one dared ask him any more questions in Luke 20, verse 40. And yet, as Jesus stood before Pilate, the same accusers talked against him to Pilate, and Jesus didn't respond to one of their accusations, to the point where Pilate even marveled at his silence. So conventional earthly wisdom cannot accept this. To assert yourself is the expectation of the world. To humbly give in or to not answer a critic in a convincing fashion is not only seen as weak, it is seen as futile. Godly wisdom teaches otherwise. Jesus Christ our Lord, who is God's wisdom come down from heaven, had various responses in different situations but he is our ultimate example from Scripture. And Jesus himself stated in Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, when they bring you to the synagogues and the magistrates and the authorities, the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what to say. What a marvelous promise from God's word. To walk so closely with the Lord that his Spirit will teach us what to say and how to respond with godly wisdom. Wisdom is better measured in deeds and humility than in words. So, in the chaos of all the voices around us, it's hard to tell who's telling the truth. Especially these days, we need God's wisdom and discernment. Who should we vote for? What investment changes should we make in our portfolios? What will oil prices do in the coming year? Should we get vaccinated or not? There are no easy answers to these and other issues looming on our horizon. But my challenge to you in 2021 is twofold, and to myself as well. Number one, to determine to set aside 10 uninterrupted minutes each day. I'll repeat, 10 uninterrupted minutes each day to know Christ and God's word more completely and to ask in faith for his wisdom in your circumstances. Are you willing to do that? 10 uninterrupted minutes a day in 2021. And secondly, to deepen your understanding of what other believers are experiencing or have experienced in the past through difficult times, especially for the persecution of their faith. Find some books or articles and study their responses and how they line up with Scripture and God's wisdom. In closing, I'd like to read a few verses from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. May God help us to have his wisdom in 2021. Thank you.